We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned good stuff,
shop vac supplies,
toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Joy News Today. We're coming to you live from our studios in Kokom Limli. We're on DTT because we're free to air on DSTV channel 421 and GoTV channel 125. We are a home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. Coming up this morning, single account for revenue collection by ECG. It's not the solution to the current power challenges facing the country. That's according to the Institute for Energy Security, as Finance Minister Dr. Amin announces new measures to deal with current power supply challenges, including a single account for the ECG. Also this afternoon, campaign gathers momentum as a Jisuba election draws closer. More as former MP posed threat to NPP after seceding from the party. Plus this afternoon, NDC flag bearer John Mahama to reintroduce free sanitary pad initiative. If successful in staging a comeback to office, we have details of his meeting with the teacher unions as part of his campaign. We also live on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram and X Spaces at Joy News on TV. My personal handle is at Denana Aisha. Please do stay for details.
When I was young, I asked my mother the secret of her vitality and health. She said, the right food, the right exercise, the right amount of sleep, and the right blood tonic. Nestopa Blood Tonic is effective for the treatment of anemia, lack of appetite, and stressful conditions in both adults and children.
Nescofa Blood Tonic, the right family blood tonic. Another quality product from Ernest Chemists. This advertisement has been vetted and approved by the FDA.
Daddy. This tank is big!
Yes, that's true.
It can store a lot of water.
That's so true.
Wow! It has a walking tortoise on it.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
I can see S-I-N-T-E-X. Syntax.
That is so true, my daughter.
When it falls down, it will spoil.
That's not true.
But why?
Hey!
Syntax was the first to introduce double-layer tanks in Ghana. Syntax again was the first to introduce white inner layers in Ghana. Syntax gives you the biggest warranty, 7 years. No matter your water needs, Syntax is the answer. Syntax tank. Are you strong? Are you tough?
collection by the ECG is not the solution to the current power challenges facing the country. That's according to Executive Director of the Institute for Energy Security, Nana Moisi VII. This warning comes as Finance Minister Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam announces new measures to deal with current power supply challenges as well as the financial issues of the sector players. Key among them is Electricity Company of Ghana, now required to operate a single account for revenue collections. The Finance Minister has been given more details at a press conference in Washington, D.C. on the sidelines of the IMF World Bank spring meetings.
The energy sector continues to be our Achilles heel, and the current outages is quite disturbing. We are not happy about it ourselves. But the problems in the energy sector have accumulated for years. We have addressed some of these challenges, but some of them are also emerging that needs immediate attention. And so under the leadership of His Excellency the President, we have agreed to a number of measures that we have started implementing. And in due course, very, very soon, the people of Ghana will see the results of these interventions. Particularly, the cash waterfall mechanism, which faced some challenges, is being repositioned to deliver and to achieve its objective. The revenue collection by ECG really has improved, but we haven't gotten to where we want to get to. We want ECG to collect, to populate the cash waterfall mechanism to the levels that can provide cash flow to all the other SOEs in the value chain, and that can also pay for fuel, and that can pay for the power IPPs are providing. We are almost there. And very soon, the people of Ghana will see the results. To bring accountability and transparency to bear on the cash waterfall mechanism, we have started auditing the cash waterfall. And we are also required to publish the findings from the audit. We've already done one audit, and we've published the findings. We are going to continue to do that so that we can bring transparency and accountability so that all revenues meant for the cash waterfall goes to the cash waterfall for the purpose for which it was created. We've also established a single collection account. Therefore, ECG will not collect revenue through the many accounts that they operate. Everything will come through a single collection account. So it is easier for all of us to track.
Well, Executive Director of the Institute of Energy Security, Nana Moisi VII, says a single account for revenue collection for the ECG is not what we need to bring the lights on.
It suggests that the ECG has multiple accounts. I'm sure that will be difficult in tracking not just the inflow, but an outflow of all these doubtful. And so if the minister or government is asking that the ECG holds one account, I'm sure this is consistent with the cash waterfall mechanism, and so as to ensure that we can easily track and transparently as well as equitably distribute to the utilities what their contribution has been. And so it's a good call. Definitely, it's not something that will take us out of our problem at the moment. The problem we have today is financial constraints in the sector, which is impacting negatively on the maintenance of plants, generating plants, as well as the flow of natural gas or fuel to this plant. If we're able to address the illiquidity, then of course we are good to go. We need money to buy fuel as we speak today. Holding one account for ECG will not address the challenge we have today. That is, like I said, a long-term approach in dealing with the issue. But in the meantime, we'll still be seeing the crisis or doomsday until we are able to put forth some money, quantum of money, to procure fuel for this plant.
Meanwhile, the intermittent power outages continue to have a devastating effect on businesses across the country. These essential businesses are grappling with stalled production, financial losses, and mounting frustrations. In our latest episode of Doomsday Diaries, we put the spotlight on the milling industry, which is responsible for processing some of our favorite staple foods, but has begun to suffer setbacks due to doomsday. Kenneth J.C. has more.
So, seated alone in his milling shop, Samson waits on ECG to restore the light that was taken several hours ago. This has become a regular occurrence at Asufa, near Ofanko Barrier in the Greater Accra region and other parts of the country. Lights go off at unexpected times, with no one knowing when it will be restored. Samson mills corn, tomatoes and kenke. His customers come to his shop as early as 4 a.m., and that's usually the period the lights go off the most.
Because it's a money thing. They have to come and grind and then go and make sure that they prepare for their children for school. So that's how they come early. So when they come and then the light is off, it worries them.
So what do? They take it back?
They go back and leave their container here or their rubbish here for the next day. That means that day, they will not work. So what the work they did yesterday, that's what they have to depend on today. So that means that your life is going back. So this light off, something has to be done about it.
The location of Samson's shop means he does not attract as many customers as he would have wished. It tells me that majority of the milling shops are located at market centers and people prefer sending the items there to bring in it where he is. That, coupled with doomsday, is taking a toll on his business.
And you know, sometimes when it's the lights go off and then they bring it back and it is low current, it affects our machines. If you're not careful, this motor can just bend. And it's going to take you about 2,000 plus before you rewind it. And it's not going to be an easy thing. And I would like the government to be sincere to the country that this is what's going on. Because you have various problems already that cannot be solved. We are just there. Like, we are not in our country. So we would like them to be sincere. Tell us what is going on.
Pulling up to Mickey D's just for drinks? Oh yeah, that's me. Nothing extra, just perfection and a straw. Coming in hot for the coldest cups on the block. Because there are drinks. Then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Ever combine an ice-cold frozen Coke with piping hot fries? Try frozen drinks any size for $1.49. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Remarkable change begins with daring to be different. Baby, I'm on a mission with Boost Mobile to putting the latest phones in the hands of more people. Introducing the signature Coach Prime Razor, only from Boost Mobile. Rush to your nearest Boost Mobile retailer and get your signature Coach Prime Razor on us. Get after it.
Limited time discount available online only while supplies last. Taxes extra. New customers only. Must activate the device within 30 days to avoid paying full price. Offer subject to change.
Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getFargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank NA, member FDIC.
They want to do with our life. Because this is our life. Without work, what are you living for?
When customers bring their dry meals to Samson's shop for milling, or Samson buys one himself for the same purpose and there is no power, they leave it in his care, in anticipation that the light will be restored by the time they return. But that is not always the case. This often results in the items going bad due to how delicate and tender they are. The customers lose money, and so does Samson.
Sometimes when you go and buy the ice kink, the kinky for the ice kinky, and then the customers come to come and buy, and then unfortunately the light is off, and they go back. That means that the next day you cannot use the kinky again. It will spoil, so you have to go and buy another one. So that means that that money is just gone. You will not get anything at the end of the day. So, and then the mist to the contour, when you soak it, let's say 3 days, and then unfortunately the light is off, you realize that though you can grind it and then get it, but you cannot get the quantity that you want because it will reduce. It is too much soaked, so it will reduce the quantity that you are expecting. So that means that whatever you're supposed to get out of it, or let's assume that maybe if you sell it, you get like 200 Ghana cedis, it may reduce to 100 Ghana cedis or 150.
Assefa and its surrounding communities are known for experiencing erratic power outages, popularly known as dimso. This was evident when the news team arrived in the community at around 2 in the afternoon. The lights were off and had been so since the dawn of that day. Their plea for a dimso timetable seems to have fallen on deaf ears. For Joy News, Kenneth Jesse.
Still on the IMF, a professor of finance says that $360 million disbursement to Ghana would definitely make an impact on the economy, but the country will feel the impact when it starts the servicing of the debt. This comes after the Bretton Woods institution revealed that it has secured the required financing assurance from bilateral creditors that will aid the disbursement of some $360 million to Ghana. It follows reports that delays in getting a deal from the Eurobond holders and bilateral creditors will affect fresh disbursement to Ghana. Listen to Finance Minister Dr. Amin Adams on this.
This remarkable performance resulted in the successful discussions that we had with the IMF mission when they came to Ghana, leading to us securing a staff level agreement. And by securing a staff level agreement, it means that we are ready to go through the second review of the fund. And I'm very confident that with the performance we have shown so far, the board, when it meets somewhere in June, will approve Ghana's second review, paving way for disbursement of $360 million US dollars. And that would have brought total disbursement to 1.5 billion United States dollars. This is remarkable, because many people thought that with the kind of difficulties that we faced in our economy, because of the external shocks, but also because of domestic vulnerabilities, we were not going to be successful with the implementation of the policies that we negotiated with the fund. But I can tell you that the fund is pretty happy, and they are very positive about our performance, and we will continue to do the best we can under the leadership of our president, President Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, to give account, good account of ourselves in the management of the
Well, Associate Professor of Finance at the University of Ghana Business School, Professor Lord Mensah, says the disbursement has both positive and negative impact.
We have to appreciate that news, I mean, be it positive or negative, has impacts on economic dynamics, and we will not dispute that. But then we also have to appreciate that the expectations of the people also matters. And so once it's a news that is giving us that kind of assurance from IMF, of course, it improves on expectations. And expectations build up into realities. So it's a good news. And for me, where I sit, I would say, yes, it is a good news. But you see, let's wait and get into a full swing of government debt service. Then we can jubilate, because just having the IMF money and then also having agreement with Eurobond holders and all those will not necessarily, you know, build up into, you know, the economic indicators that will make the country reflect the true state of the economy. The true state of the economy will be realized when the country starts servicing its debt fully. Now we are on debt suspension, which is a way of more or less fixing our exchange rate, like I always say. So from where I sit, fine. They are all good news. We talking about having an IMF agreement, Eurobond assurance, and all those. But trust me, we need to look at the realities, a point where government is servicing its debt. That is when we'll see the full scale of, full scale demand of the dollar, and we'll see the true level of the dollar. The reason why I'm saying this is that, you know, the depreciation of the currency, you know, determines the economic dynamics, be it interest rate, be it inflation or whatever. I mean, once the city depreciates, it builds up into all these indicators. So I may want to see the point where, you know, government has started full service of debt. Then in that case, we can talk about the true state of these economic indicators. We should be happy because it's a good signal, but then we need a signal to reflect in realities. And that is what, I'll be expecting.
Away from the economy to politics, the New Patriotic Party's hold of the Ejisu constituency is threatened by attempt of a comeback by the former MP Kwabena Osei-Idiomi. Though the campaign of the former NPP MP who is going independent has been quiet, it is fast catching attention in the Ejisu by-election. But the NPP is leaving no stone unturned as party bigwigs join in the constituency campaign. Nanaya Ojima puts the spotlight on the campaigns in the area and has filed this report.
Aside from the former MP, Kwabena Osei-Idiomi, the NPP's Kwabena Boateng has to beat four others for the party to retain its seat. Estelle Say of the CPP, LPG's Beatrice Boache, and Joseph Atakra as independent candidate. Ohineba Fridia Ajiman is another independent candidate seeking to break the NPP's monopoly.
The People's Representative Bill, when you go to Parliament, the law over there is People's Representative Bill. But nowadays, I've observed that it's becoming party representative. All those who are electing them into the Parliament go there with their party ideology and other things, not the people. So I've observed all these problems and I decided to come out so that I'll go and represent my people, not any party.
Former MP Kwabena Osei-Idiomi served three terms in office as Ejisu MP. In 2016, he won the seat with over 83% votes, setting a record in the constituency elections. Mr. Idiomi says the grounds are fertile for his return as MP. Mr. Idiomi's campaign, though silent, is catching up with the grassroots. Idiomi started these road projects in Ejisu. They can construct the road to Yaokui. We will vote against them. During Idiomi's term, NDC was in power, but he did his part to help us. Big wigs in the NPP are leading the party's candidate in various towns for campaign. Party General Secretary Justin Kodia and organizer Henry Nanabuache have shown support. Minister for Roads Francis Asenso Buache has also been to the constituency. As we speak, government has a candidate on the ground. if you vote an independent candidate, how does he come to me to lobby for roads?
That's another party, MP. Now, parliamentary. I'm going to have a more officer of a lobby for roads. Talk to me. Ain't happening.
The NPP candidate, Kwabena Boateng, is already making promises in his campaign.
It's a Kwabena Boateng person here.
I promise to get good roads for the constituency. The chief spoke about nursing training college. It is among my priorities. Considering the size of Ejoso, I think we need one. Though the NDC has refused to participate in the election, the NPP will have to fight an enemy from its fold to retain the seat. Joy News, Nanaya Ojima reporting.
From the NPP to the NDC's camp, flag bearer of the NDC, John Dramani Mahama, says reintroduction of free sanitary pad initiative will be a priority if successful in staging a comeback to office. It is one of the demands made by teacher unions in a document presented to political parties for inclusion into the NDC's manifesto for the upcoming election. The policy that was intended in the previous John Mahama administration was largely criticized by opposition parties. In a meeting with the teacher unions, the former president revealed intentions to mainstream STEM and TVET education into secondary schools. Mr. Mahama made other pronouncements to overhaul education in the country.
The provision of free sanitary pads for female learners in both basic and senior high schools was initiated under the erstwhile NDC administration. If you remember, our opponents now in government mocked us and called it the pad loan. For you, the unions, to have raised this as an issue in the concerns that you have presented to us means that our policy on sanitary pads was well thought through and needs to be looked at again. The NDC policy of infrastructure development will again be pursued vigorously to decongest the large class sizes. Abandoned infrastructure in the basic and senior high schools and TVET schools, including the famous E-blocks, will receive priority attention under a new NDC administration. The need to review and improve upon the free SHS TVET policy is no longer debatable. And Angel just mentioned it. We are happy we are on the same wavelength with regards to that. It is a must that we look at the implementation of free SHS again through stakeholder engagements to address the numerous challenges and strengthen its positives. It is thus not surprising that you have incorporated it into the document that you have presented us, which I call the Teacher's Manifesto. We're going to mainstream TVET and STEM into all secondary schools. We don't believe that STEM and TVET should be standalone in special secondary schools. We must mainstream them through all the secondary schools. And so in this regard, we will revamp the science resource centers in order that clusters of schools can use those centers. Luckily for us, the E-blocks have four laboratories in every E-block. And those laboratories are going to be used for TVET and STEM education. The imperative of the Free SHS Secretariat being supervised by the Education Directorate is our considered view. The Education Service, which is an implementing agency, has the capacity to implement the Free SHS policy. So we do not agree on a standalone Free SHS Secretariat. We think that it must be integrated into the Education Service as an implementing agency. The NDC will therefore integrate the Free SH Secretariat into the Education Service Directorate and not have them exist as separate entities. I announced to the CHAS representatives last week that we would decentralize the school feeding program and return the responsibility for feeding the students to the school.
Away from politics, about 1,200 children under the age of 15 in Ghana are estimated to develop cancer annually, according to the World Health Organization. The survival rate of cancer cases is less than 50% in the African continent, owing to limited expertise and apparatus, enforcing the inequality in child cancer care in Ghana. World Child Cancer Day is actually critically highlighting the essence of early and accurate detection by enhancing the proficiency and expertise of radiologists in interpreting medical images accurately and efficiently. Clinton Yeboah's report.
The survival rate of child cancer in developed continents is peaking at over 70%. This highlights the strides and positive investments in radiology expertise, medical imaging technologies, and early detection methods. Dr. Obed Kojo-Otu, a senior specialist radiologist at Konfanochi Teaching Hospital, observed the treatment of cancer, particularly child cancer, is hindered by insufficient equipment and expertise among radiographers and radiologists. This limits the information provided to clinicians for better detection and treatment.
The fact that we should use MRI often for children with eye cancers, which is retinoblastoma. We don't have so many MRI machines in Ghana, so we resort to using CT, and that limits the information we can provide the clinicians so that they'll be able to treat this patient. Training, like we are doing, to improve on our skills, not only us, but those who also image, who are the radiographers, so that we'll get good images that we can interpret for better treatment for the children.
Addressing the gap, Well Child Cancer, a charity organization, is acknowledging the limited access to essential imaging services critical in cancer care. Through the collaborations with the radiology department in Kwalibu and Konfanochi Teaching Hospital, experienced radiologists, radiologic technologists, and other healthcare professionals have been recruited to serve as instructors and mentors for a professional training program for healthcare professionals across the country. Ajuapinaman Boatindesu is the country director for World Child Cancer in Ghana. She says the radiology training program will equip radiologists with the necessary skills and knowledge to effectively perform radiologic procedures and interpret image studies to facilitate effective treatment.
When you look at the survival rates of childhood cancer in high-income countries, you can get about 85 to 90%. But in our part of the world, it's less than 50%. It is in view of this that World Child Cancer seeks to change the narrative so that we can get that survival rate compared to the high and income countries that we always seek to be. Early diagnosis, early and accurate diagnosis is key in childhood cancer care and management. So we felt that, no, it is very important that we involve radiologists in this aspect because they help us with the imaging and interpretation, among others. So if we should get the correct diagnosis, we are sure of the correct treatment. It will definitely improve treatment outcomes for children diagnosed in cancer.
The training program will arrange for clinical rotations at major training centers to provide trainees with real-world experience in performing and interpreting radiologic examinations. Dr. Obedotu says the training will help interpret radiological findings accurately and effectively communicate them to the healthcare team. Participants recount the tips acquired will help them include essential information in their reports, which they ordinarily omit.
We have heard from the oncologist and the pediatric oncologist point of view on the things they require from us as images in terms of what they need us to put on the report and how that will affect their management of the patient. So I have learned new tips on how to go about my reporting, what is relevant, what's not relevant, and then the urgency with which they need the reports.
Reporting for Joy News, my name is Clinton Yeboah.
Across Africa, a new era has begun, shifting our focus. Across Africa, a new era has begun, shifting our focus to a new horizon, connecting us with one purpose: to create and share opportunities to grow. Brighter tomorrow, built by our dreams and our energy. Across our continent, across the world, we are creating a better way to a better future. A Pan-African future, together. Ecobank, a better way, a better Africa.
With your last cash left for the month, you decide to get a chicken bucket for the family. So you hop in your car and pay for the petrol to get to the drive-thru. Then you pay for the food. But 20 minutes later, that precious bucket of chicken is now a bucket of bones. Or you pay once right on your phone with the MyGoTV app to keep the whole family smiling for an entire month. For unbeatable value for money entertainment.
Ooh, I love this.
There's only one way to go. GoTV. Love it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the business segment on Joy News Today. With me, Pius Kojo-Baka. Fitch Solutions is forecasting an end-year cedi to dollar rate of 12 cedis 25 pesos. It says that the Ghana cedi will recoup some of its recent losses in the months ahead. In its sub-Saharan Africa currency roundup, it said the cedi will strengthen as the government makes progress regarding the restructuring of the commercial debt. Here's more.
The local currency has depreciated by 11% against the US dollar so far this year.
We sincerely apologize for that. We shall rectify that and bring you that story subsequently. Now, the managing director of the Ghana Stock Exchange, Abinam Moa, has said that management is diversifying its operations to attract more companies to raise capital from the local bears. She is of the view that the move will encourage businesses to move from the money market to the capital market to raise cheaper funds. Speaking to Joy Business, Ms. Amoa disclosed that one of the targeted groups is the rural and community banks scattered across the country.
Our market is open. We are looking to engage in more Ghanaian businesses, more Ghanaian companies. Come and do what Lesego has done. Come and do what Kasapreko is doing. There are many real estate developers. Many Ghanaians want an opportunity to own a little stake. Maybe not a whole house, but to own a little stake in a good real estate venture. We are calling on real estate companies to come to the market. We are calling on manufacturers to come and raise long-term, patient, affordable capital so that all of us who have savings can invest in these businesses, will make good returns, and our country and economies will grow.
In more business news, interest rates on the 91-day and 364-day bills went down on the yield curve as the government recorded a marginal oversubscription of Treasury bills auction. That's according to auction results by the Bank of Ghana. Here's a Business Desk report.
Whilst the yield on the 91-day bill fell by 20 basis points to 25.64%, that of the 364-day bill declined to 28.49%. However, the 182-day bill went up by 25 basis points to 28.14%. Analysts are hoping that the yield will drop further once the government receives the Fed tranche of the bailout cash of $360 million from the International Monetary Fund. Meanwhile, the government secured 3.341 billion Ghana cedis from the auction of the Treasury bills. This was slightly lower than the targeted amount of 3.372 billion Ghana cedis. The majority of the bids came from the 91-day bill, 2.356 billion Ghana cedis were tendered and all were accepted. For the 182-day bill, 818.32 million Ghana cedis was received and the uptake was the same. 166.24 million Ghana cedis was also obtained from the sale of the 364-day bill.
That's it for business. I am Pius Kojobaka. Sports is next.
By the end of the 4 years of my term in office as president, Accra will be the cleanest city in Africa.
Our rivers are choked. Our streets are hoarding it. Our landfills bursting. Our trash bags overflowing. And even the air we breathe carries it. Filth, it is everywhere.
Normally, there is a container here where they put the baller inside. But right now, they haven't brought the container back.
The Filth Exhibition, a Joy News series, presents the alarming state of waste management, sanitation, and refuse left in our communities, presenting a compelling and urgent need for action.
September 2023, the management of the VRA opened the spillways of the Akosombo Dam. Millions of gallons of water rushed out, destroying everything on its path. Then the blame game began.
From VRA all the way to the very top, they owe us explanations.
Their forecast gave the indication that we are not supposed to expect too much water into the reservoir. But in August, the situation changed.
Our forecast did not change.
After the floods, 36,000 people remained displaced, reeling under the heavy weight of neglect.
Some of the ladies, they are in their menses, and how they would bath, change themselves, nothing. They can't do anything, so maybe they'll be in one part. As I'm talking to you now, me myself, I'm also a victim.
After the floods, Joy News returns to speak to the affected people to understand their pain and to understand why an engineering decision should cause such havoc.
I'm very much annoyed with them, and we are not hearing anything from them.
They have to come to our aid and support us and give us compensation.
After the floods, a Joy News hotline documentary coming soon.
Let's do sports now on JN Today. My name is Haruna Mubarak. Now, yesterday, Asante Kotoko won a game for the first time in 51 days, albeit in a controversial fashion. Enoch Morrison secured a 60th minute penalty to hand the Porcupine Warriors a 1-0 victory over leader Samatex. The victory ends the club's winless run in 7 matches. Here's the relieved Kotoko coach, Prosper Nate Ogum.
Very good performance from both sides. Both teams came with the intention to play very expansively, create chances and score. So they got us on some few occasions on the counter. I think we also got them. And then out of our pressure, I think we won that penalty.
Is it fair to say you are a relieved man?
Once you win, you become okay. The game is all about winning, especially when you're coaching a team like Kumasi Asante Kotoko. It doesn't matter how beautifully you play. At the end of the day, even if you don't play well and you get them the 3 points, that's okay.
You didn't just win, but there were indications of this team getting back to their feet. They played so well. How do you intend to keep up with this momentum?
I think it's all about trying to encourage them to boost their confidence, letting them know that they are capable of doing it and that we can turn things around. It's all about staying focused. So we have to get closer to the players and let them know that we are with them and we believe that they can do it. I'm actually impressed and probably very impressed about how we play today. We look very compact in defense, very expansive in attack, and we look for the spaces behind their defense, which is an indication that the intention to defend is there and the intention to create and score is also there. So I'm okay.
Now, another coach who was under pressure but felt relieved over the weekend is Manchester United's Erik ten Hag. The Red Devils, having failed to secure a win in their last four Premier League games, narrowly escaped embarrassment in the FA Cup. Despite taking a 3-0 lead, they had to rely on penalties to edge past Championship side Coventry City. United is set to face Manchester City in the final on the 25th of May, and Ten Hag is expressing confidence in his team's ability to clinch the trophy.
Yes, I see that similar. So we can play on very high levels, but in the same match also we can go very in low levels in the same game. And that's not explainable, but it has to do with manage the game, of course. Take responsibility, take each other in the responsibility. So keep organized and make the right decisions. And I have to teach my players, clear. And we have to do better in such occasions. But also I have to say, the most difficult we can do to put ourselves in a winning position. And the last thing is much easier, but we, on several occasions, we let each other down and we let the result slip away. But today, we got away with it.
Eric, how do you explain that lack of game management? Because there are some experienced players out there, Onana, Maguire, Fernandes, Casemiro, Rashford even. You know, that's not a young side. And it's been 2 years now, so surely they should be able to see out a game from 3-0 up.
No, it's clear, and we can talk about it, and it's true. But I see also the flip side, where we are 70 minutes, we are playing to good levels. I see also the flip side where we, two times in 2 years, we are in the FA Cup final, and is now take advantage from this, that we have to go to that cup final to have the belief we can win. And we can do it, and we showed lately in the Emirates, where we put ourselves also in a winning position, where we could have scored a second goal. We showed last season in this cup final that we had a really good opportunity to win this cup final. But yeah, we play against probably the best team in the world. So yeah, you have to play 90 minutes and extra time to your highest levels. Otherwise, you don't have a chance. And so we need a team, put a team out who taking that responsibility and we have the players to do it, but they have to believe from the first whistle till the final whistle.
And that's how we end the sports segment on JN Today. My name is Haruna Mubarak. Showbiz comes up right after this.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Showbiz segment. Me, Jacqueline Ansuma Iyabua. Now, shock and sadness rolled through Ghana's gospel music community as news of the sudden passing of Kofi Owusu-Dia Anto, fondly known as Koda, reverberates. This loss leaves many fans reeling, reflecting on the profound impact of his music and legacy. Pastor Jim, Uncle Lato, and SK Ripon have been narrating how instrumental Koda has been in their music career. We have more.
Call me broken hearted. Come to Jesus now.
Kofi Owusu-Dia Anto, widely recognized as Koda, was not just a Ghanaian gospel icon, but a pillar of inspiration for many. His untimely passing on Saturday, April 21st, has sent shockwaves across the nation. Daily Jacob's concert, where gospel musicians like Dr. Joe Bichem, Uncle Lato, and SK Frimpong performed, tributes poured in, underscoring Koda's indelible mark on their musical journeys.
It's difficult for all of us to believe. In fact, I still can't accept that he's gone, because nobody expected this to happen to him at this very, very young age. Not just a producer or a musician or a friend, but part of me is gone, because I've known no other producer than him.
And it was Kofi who discovered me. It was Kofi who discovered me. I met Kofi at Tech. Kofi was my mate. And there was a prophecy in the church where he fellowships. I wasn't there. But the prophecy was given about me, about my music ministry. He was the music director of the church, had the prophecy, and came looking for me. Told me he's a sound engineer. This was the prophecy given about me. He wanted to make sure that God's word comes to pass. So Kofi started with me in Pastor Joe's house, and this is me today. For people like me, Kofi lives in me.
We wish that God will cause him to sleep well and have a good sleep. We love him. He's my father. He has impacted my life in so many ways.
Meanwhile, the resident of Sekendi Takade grapples with disbelief, hoping that the news is untrue. Joy News captures some reactions from residents.
2 o'clock today, I went to Mrs. Kinyuma to have a shoot with her, and she broke the news to me that have I heard that Koda has passed on. I said, why? What's wrong? We were all so sad. Even we couldn't have the shoot.
It's so much to take in. Like, we have questions, but as Christians, we can't question. There's so much to take in. We wish it didn't happen today.
Yeah. Koda's family, though confirming his demise, opts for privacy in their mourning.
Well, may his soul rest in peace. Now, episode 7 of Big Chef Season 3 yesterday saw all 10 contestants battle it out in the kitchen to woo the judges with your soup recipes and escape eviction. The tension in the kitchen turned all way up as contestants were given 30 minutes to whip up their meals in creative ways. At the end of the episode, judges evicted 2 contestants, leaving a gloomy atmosphere in the kitchen. My colleague Lois Adeyemi has more in this report.
Are you gingered up for today's task?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Remember, it's elimination.
Episode 7 of the Best Kids Culinary Competition on Joy Prime saw all 10 wannabe little chefs battle it out in the kitchen to escape eviction in the soup challenge. The tension in the kitchen heightened as contestants were looted 30 minutes to whip up their meals.
Task for the day is soup. You have to give me just one soup. It's a soup challenge. I'm not asking for any accompaniment. I said soup. One pot bowl. That's it. Are we clear?
Yes, chef.
30 minutes. All right. So time begins now. Let's start picking our things. Let's go.
Official judge for the season, chef Kofi Adjumo encouraged contestants to be adventurous with their meals and work hard to impress the judges.
I really want you guys to be more adventurous with this. Okay? I'm expecting to see a soup like the Chinese soup, like Indomie pepper soup with cabbage. Something like that. Just be adventurous. Do something new from what we've been seeing. You know, it's eviction week as well. Remember, two of you are going home. So that you prove yourself and stay strong. Okay?
Contestants quickly got to work. Cutting, chopping, blending, and tasting meals to make sure that they were on course. Guest judge Chef Yvonne also went round to make sure contestants obeyed the rules of the kitchen.
What are we making?
Chicken rice.
There's no salt, no much water. It's not enough.
Let's add more.
In terms of oil. That's okay. Going, spit it up, pick it up.
Then came the final countdown, halting all activities in the kitchen. Contestants quickly plated their meals, ready to serve the judges. The pressure turned all the way up as each contestant took turns presenting their meals to the judges for the final verdict. At the end of the day, Emerald's pepper garden soup stole the hearts of the judges, earning her the Star Chef of the Day title.
We give the Wow Best Chef to Emerald. So Emerald today, we took the best chef for today.
Unfortunately, fans' favorite, Jading, and assistant chef Hassabu, sadly said their final goodbyes after they were evicted. They exited the kitchen, leaving a cheerless atmosphere. Lois Adeyemi's report for Joy Prime.
Hafsatu and Jaden, here's where the journey ends for you. We wish you all the best, but then you can go backstage.
Yeah. Well, that's a wrap for the showbiz segment with me, Jacqueline and Suma Yeboah. To you, Aisha.
When are we going to get to
Big Chef? Definitely, I think I will say the next episode, but this next episode we will definitely feature.
What are you cooking?
My favorite jollof, so maybe
What jollof? I'm still reading.
Okay.
Let's bring in a show bit as I wrap up the bulletin. And my name is Aisha Ryan. Log on to myjoonline.com. There's more of the news and updates of